Big Dean Bubba Podcast.
Did you see Sam's face?
No, like, I didn't.
What was that?
There's some guy with a megaphone just going crazy right here.
Today, we are talking about the day that we're recording this podcast. We are still looking for the missing Malaysian airliner. And as pilots, we are fascinated by this.
More fascinated than the average person because of the fact that it's kind of something that we're into. It's our little world, you know, the pilot-y thing.
Let's introduce our guests that we have this week. I said Sam. His name is Sam, and he is a friend of ours. He is a pilot. He's an airline pilot.
For a major airline, and he does international flights, much like the Malaysian airliner. He's flying over the water and all that all the time.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Sam.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, man. So, all right, let's just barrel into it. What's your thoughts? What do you think happened?
I don't know. It's a tough one. You see all the theories on the news and conspiracy theories and plausible theories and
aliens,
terrorists,
alien terrorists.
Pilots.
I mean, you know, we were talking about it. And this is going to be one of those weird things for people because who knows? By the time somebody listens to the podcast, they might have already found the plane. But I'm just thinking, in 2014, this is where I stand on it. In 2014. With everybody spying on everybody, the NSA spying on the Chinese SSAs and the SSAs and the CIAs and the FBIs and the FUBUs and you name it. Everybody's all over everybody's business. As a pilot, when you're under a flight plan and you deviate from that flight plan, people aren't happy. Air traffic controllers are like, what are you doing? Where do you think you're going? Even if you miss your altitude by 100 feet, they go, hey, you're a little low. What's up? What are you doing? For this thing to go that awry and that amiss and to bust that 180 and go the other way had to have gotten some kind of attention. At that point, that's when they zero in and go, hey, watch this one.
And I'll say something else. You know, this is a flight that was what's considered IFR. It's instrument flight rules. And if he had an electrical problem, he's already filed a flight plan. If you have an electrical problem, you more than likely you wouldn't turn around. You would just keep going on your plan because you're already cleared for that plan, and you know that they're going to expect you at a certain time. If you Sam were flying and you're in that situation and you lost all electrical, would you do Would you drop altitude and do a 180 and go back?
It depends on the nature of the emergency and the flight plan, because on the international flight plans you have, depending on your fuel requirements and the radar coverage for the area you're going, you have different alternate airports. So if you have a serious enough issue, let's say in the first third or fourth of the flight, and the flight plan dictates where that cutoff point is, you might make a 180. You might turn around and go back to either the airport you took off from or what's called an alternate airport, a suitable alternate airport, and you could make an airport or a return to some other field that may be behind you.
Now, I'm going to throw something out here because I fly little bitty planes, little four-seater. Big D flies a six-seater, and you fly 200-and-something passenger planes. So maybe the worlds are a little bit different. When we have an electrical issue, you stay high. That's just because altitude is your friend. You know, the higher you are, let's say if you have complete, absolute failure of everything except your controls, you know, you can always glide down and it gives you several minutes.
But even if you lose electrical, your engine still runs.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But what I'm saying is, let's say they had some catastrophic failure on there. Would that also screw up the hydraulics? But no, it couldn't be that because they were still on autopilot for a long time. Why would they descend on purpose? Because again, if you're over the ocean, you want to be able to glide. Those planes, even a 777, will glide.
Sure.
Why would they descend if they were having some kind of electrical or whatever issue, some catastrophic failure of whatever? You don't do that. Altitude is your friend.
Altitude is your friend, and unless it's a fire. When electrical issues cause a fire, then altitude's not your friend, and you want to be as close to the ground as you can be to fight the fire. And you look at the crash with UPS in Philadelphia. Well, the airplane landed safely, but it burned on the runway. They only had just a few minutes from the first indication of a fire until that airplane was completely destroyed. The crew made it. They got on the ground very, very quickly and did the proper procedures. But that's a situation, and that wasn't electrical. That was a cargo fire caused by batteries, lithium batteries. which is a little bit different than what we're talking about. But sometimes altitude's not your friend. In most cases, altitude is your friend.
So what about
aliens?
What about
plausible? Yes. Aliens.
What about these engines? These are Rolls-Royce engines. The 777 has these engines that are super high tech, and we've been hearing that they report automatically every 30 minutes, altitude, air quality, a bunch of other things, things
like diagnostics.
Yeah, and they report it, and it goes back using radio or SATCOM. So, how do you explain the plane descends, does a U-turn, and it's still getting information, and they're saying that it continued to fly
in a crazy straight line.
How?
Which was, looking at that flight path they posted on the TV or whatever, that was straight.
And they're saying that they're using two navigational waypoints, which makes me think that someone knows what they're doing. They're flying legit waypoints, and I don't know. There's your thoughts on that? On
the 777, and ours have different engines. Ours have GE engines versus the Rolls-Royce, but there are telemetry things that, depending on how the airline operator equips their airplane, they will transmit back and provide data to either Boeing or the engine manufacturer or both or the company. I'm not sure how theirs were equipped, but...
I understand theirs was equipped to go back to Malaysia, and then Malaysia also sent it to Rolls-Royce. They both had access.
Very possible, yes.
And neither are really saying a whole lot about it.
There's probably more information than they're giving us.
And
I knew it was the government.
And so what are your thoughts on the whole transponder thing? Both transponders being turned off one 14 minutes later than the other.
Obviously, that means they didn't have a pressurization thing where people passed out, because 15 minutes later, if they go, oh, I forgot to turn that one off.
Oh, I just put my mask on.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, even if you turn the transponder off, and I'm not completely sure with Southeast Asia how their radar coverage is, but if they were in radar coverage, then even if you turn your transponder off, you're going to get what's called a primary target, where the radar sees something big and metal out there. They just don't have a beacon code and an identification on the airplane. So even if they turned it off,
they'd
still get a blip on the radar that says, hey, there's an airplane out there. And they can see kind of a direction, a two-dimensional top-down view of the plane going.
What if it gets really, really low?
If it's very low, either in a mountainous area or too low out over the ocean, then obviously the radar will not pick it up.
And so then they're blind.
To air traffic control, yes.
To air traffic control, but not to someone else?
Satellites, I mean, they can see whatever that, you know, if we had something that... And here's another thing. Look at all the drama we have had. This is great. This is, like, so different than our normal podcast. Our normal podcast is, ha, 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 you know, whatever. This is so interesting because it's a real-life X-Files type episode. You know, you have 239 people that were aboard. You know, 239 souls have disappeared. Are they dead? Are they alive? You know, we have all this drama in Southeast Asia, as you mentioned. You know, North Korea hates South Korea. South Korea hates, you know, everybody.
Everyone.
And, China is in the middle of this with Taiwan, and Japan's mad at this, and India and Pakistan. And you've got all this drama in that region. Obviously, there are a bunch of satellites pointed on top of that thing, just looking and watching. And it's not just regular satellites. You know, we have these crazy type satellites that America uses, and I'm sure the other guys do too, that can detect little bitty things. And a big thing like a 777 would be kind of hard to hide.
777's not easily hideable, that's right.
I would think somebody knows exactly where this is. I would think many somebodies, by that I mean government entities, know exactly what's going on. But I don't want to say they're powerless to do anything. But why haven't they done anything? Why haven't they said, you know, here's where it is and we're going in?
I heard this morning that the Navy, and I don't know if that's our Navy or a Navy over there, they're sending aircraft over that have radar capabilities that can spot something the size of a basketball on the ocean and distinguish it. So,
you know, there is a thing, and I'm not saying anything that isn't out on the internet. There's a thing called hyperspectral imaging, and I'm sure we have stuff like this up there. And what it does is it can look at anything. If you have something hidden under a canopy of trees, they can tell you what it is, what shape it is, how what it's made out of, how thick that material is. They can do that now. Why do we need to send an airplane with radar and, you know, LIDAR and all this other stuff? We have technologies that are so far better and beyond. They would know. I'm frustrated.
There was a recent crash in Idaho with a Beechcraft Bonanza that was going from California, I think, to Montana or Wyoming, that ultimately the family perished on board, but they got into icing conditions over the mountains, went down, and radar contact was lost. There was something, and I don't remember the name of it, Todnod or something, and it uses pretty much live satellite photos over very small areas and allows users on the internet to log on to it at their own leisure as a hobby almost, and they will analyze it, and if they see something that looks like debris or wreckage, they can then say, hey, look on frame so-and-so. They're using that in Malaysia.
I was going to say, I bet they can also look at that and say, okay, here's the exact GPS coordinates as well. You know, this little square correlates to this, and here you go.
That's right. And they're on there. Those latlongs are on there. And I heard this morning that they're using that for Malaysia as well. So they're, in fact, it was bombarded so much by internet users that you couldn't even log on to it.
Wow. Do you remember the James Bond Thunderball movie? That was the one where they stole the plane. They stole the British bomber with the nuclear bomb on it, and they basically did the same thing. They ditched it in the ocean and let it sink to the bottom, then they covered it up, and then they came back and took the bomb off of it, and they were saying, we're going to hit America with it, ha, 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 ha. We've got this bomb that we stole off the That's what this feels like. I mean, it's so just diabolical.
I want the plane, not the bomb.
Yeah, and the people.
Yeah.
What do you think the chances are that it's Give me 1 to 10. 10 being, yeah, it is. 1 being, no, it's not.
Not what?
One scenario. First scenario is it's hijacked and it's sitting on a tarmac somewhere hidden.
0.5.
What about it's...
Wait, 0.5?
Less than one.
Wow. What do you think that it is broken up and it is crashed in the ocean, all's dead?
My gut instinct... 9.5.
Wow. So you do not think that it's a hijack situation at all?
I think it could have been a hijack situation
that went awry.
That went awry and either went into the ocean or whatever.
I said awry.
I use that word
a lot.
You know, the thing about airplanes and having carry-on luggage and little floaty seat cushions and things like that is
you would see it.
You would find it. Unless it ditched in the ocean and then sank, which would be different if it's in one piece versus...
Yeah, like the Hudson landing.
Yeah.
So if it ditches on the ocean surface and then slowly sinks, it's not going to... We may never find it.
No, but they'll know.
Oh, they'll find it.
Because we have those satellites and everything like we just talked about a minute ago. Somebody saw it on the surface, and they saw it, and they could track it, you know. I mean,
the flight data recorders on those airplanes, they're designed to transmit for a long time. I think it's a month, maybe more. And as in the case with the plane that went off the coast of Brazil going across the ocean that flew into the thunderstorm.
I love how you throw in all these other crashes and disappearances, and none of us know what you're talking about, but keep going.
It was... I want to say Air France, but that could be wrong. But it was a couple of years ago. It took them 2 years to find that airplane in the ocean. They eventually found it. They retrieved the flight data recorders, and they put the exact crash back together. They flew into a thunderstorm, lost control of the aircraft based on a misinterpretation of the flight data, and ultimately they crashed, killed everybody, but they found the airplane.
Do we know what the weather was for this Malaysia thing?
I do not.
It was
not
clear.
Okay.
It was clear. 15 knot winds.
Which is nothing.
Well.
Not a weather issue then. But if it was a hijacking issue, that could have been a Who knows?
People get mad when I say aliens.
How hard is it?
I just want to see the alien. I just want to see him.
Yeah. Well, I'll do that in a semi-joking fashion. I'll say it was aliens because it's just the go-to answer. Like whenever you can't explain something, the little internet guy with the goofy hair and the orange spray tan, you know, and everybody's aliens. But man, people get mad when you say that. They're like, 239 people is no joking matter. Blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry.
Hey, if they don't find the airplane, maybe we'll use that as the idea.
Haven't you seen all those old movies? Close Encounters? They show up with all these, you know, Amelia Earhart and all these bomber pilots that came out of the Bermuda Triangle and all. That's where that comes from.
Well, how long do you think it will be before they find it?
There's no telling. It just depends on, I think the next few weeks will be the most critical to finding. If they're going to find something, now would be the time to find it. Because the search, they're just going to reduce the efforts over time.
Yeah.
Due to cost.
Do you think the Malaysian government is involved in some way?
Do you think any government is involved?
Always.
Really?
I think I don't think it's necessarily a bad involvement. I think there's probably involvement. They may know more than they're telling us.
Somebody does.
Somebody knows something.
I don't know, man.
I would think, though, on something like this, because it was a civilian plane, that whoever knew something would come out and go, oh, well, here's what happened. Here's what we saw, and we're going to look further into it.
I don't get what, I don't get what the secrecy is about.
Yeah, why so secret?
I don't know.
Why is this the only time in the history of aviation that we've had a situation like this?
Well, we haven't. I mean, we've lost things like Amelia Earhart and all these other people. You know, going back to that, we've lost planes before.
Not in
2014 with the technology that we have.
In recent times, there has not been a major air disaster that hasn't gone, one, unfound, and two, unsolved. Particularly with an airplane like a 777 that even the oldest ones are still new technology.
Right.
You know, the data is there if you can find the airplane to reconstruct the accident.
Mm-mm-mm. This is fascinating.
What are the other airline peers saying?
Really the same things that the news is saying. It's, you know, hijacking or even an explosive decompression for most conditions. The airplane's still flyable. If you blow a door out, if you
blow a I've seen where they blow a chunk of the roof out of the plane
off. Hawaiian Air or the Hawaiian flight that blew the top of the 737 off.
Yeah.
You know, still flyable.
And landed.
And that was probably a little more divine and a little more luck involved than
that was crazy.
Structural intelligence.
Could you imagine? I mean, it's like flying a convertible airplane at 30,000 feet. You know, all of a sudden the roof rips off and you got all these people who are buckled in and they're like, holy crud. I mean, that had to have been the most crazy thing ever. They all had to have thought that they were going to die.
Well, the one flight attendant did. She sucked out.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. She wasn't strapped in.
Yeah, she's just walking down the aisle and
oh, wow.
I forgot about her.
So it's really that fast? Like when if
in the
that
movies?
High, is it just like the movies?
Would it's they extremely fast.
Would someone suck through like a small hole?
No. But what you get is a lot of dust because there's dust everywhere in an airplane. Typical dead skin carrying airplane.
Oh, that's great.
Dust everywhere and the windows will fog up just with pressure and temperature and humidity changes. And then you'll lose the oxygen anywhere from 10 to 15 seconds at a high altitude, a minute or so at a low altitude.
Is that why you have your oxygen mask? Do you guys have emergency oxygen mask right next to your head, right?
Ours are right by our knee on the 757 and 767. They're just off our either left or right side, depending on which seat you're sitting in.
Yeah, and you can get it on pretty quick.
But they're quick donning mask. When you squeeze it to pull it out of the holder,
it's already rolling.
The strap inflates to go around your head, and you let go of it, and it squeezes down on your head.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very quick process.
That's crazy. What a weird, weird world we live in. That stuff like this. I mean, it's kind of I hate saying neat thing that we can have conversations like this, you know, with all this crazy technology and all that. But, I mean, we lost an airplane. We lost an airplane in 2014, with almost 240 people aboard, that nobody has a clue where it is.
The interesting thing would be there's two different things. You have radio coverage, meaning voice, And then you have radar coverage where they're actually able to spot the airplane on the scope. And as far as voice communication, I think that entire area out there uses a traditional radio that any normal small or large airplane would use, a VHF radio. So you're always talking to somebody pretty much live, if need be. And absent of that, you go to an HF radio where they bounce the radio off the ionosphere and then it goes to a relay station. And you just make regular position reports on those. I don't think they were in that situation, but it would be interesting to go back, which they probably have by now. I'm sure they have. And reviewed, you know, frequency by frequency, handoff by handoff. Who did you speak to last? What was your position?
I wonder if the voices changed. Would that be creepy? If all of a sudden they went from, you know, Malaysian flight to Lebelot to Malaysian flight to Lebelot, you know, or Malaysian flight number 40, you know, if something, you know, changed hands, that would be kind of weird.
Well, and I don't know on that crew, but like on ours, you can have three or four pilots depending on the length of the flight. So sometimes when you have a person going into a rest.
Yeah, but you know pilots' voices all the time.
Right.
Like Big D was talking about texting Dirks Bentley the other day. I was flying not too long back, and I hear this guy making calls. I'm like, hey, Dirks, what's up? Hey, man, what's up? You know, because you recognize pilots' voices.
Right.
And if you've got three or four guys on the crew, you have people in that same company who go, oh, yeah, that's Terry. That's Mike. That's Joe.
That's whoever. Right.
So you know who's in the thing. If you hear a voice that no one recognizes, then it's an immediate red flag.
Well, and if they know the names of the crew, they'll know whether that's their voice or not. Mm-hmm. You know, the investigators, the airline in partnership with the investigators. But the other thing is the radar. You know, I don't know what their coverage is in that part of the country, Kuala Lumpur and Malaysia area. But, you know, the radar, I guess, showed the turn back to the left or wherever it was going. But it would just be really interesting to hear the air traffic control tapes.
Kuala Lumpur, is that the one with the weird runway where it lands right over the beach and the people hang onto the fence?
I think that's St. Thomas. Is it St. Thomas?
The ones where you see the pictures on the internet and the people are like, their feet are up in the air. Whee, look at me.
I think that's St. Thomas.
Okay.
Well,
hopefully this entire podcast is completely outdated and they found the plane and everybody's alive and Delta Force and the SEALs and whoever the, you know, Allied forces are went in and saved everybody and shot all the bad guys. If it's a terrorist type situation, hopefully, if they ditched it, they found a bunch of inflatable rafts and all these people hanging out on an island eating coconuts and snakes. That's my wish. Best wishes to the passengers and the pilots and the crew and everybody. I hope this entire podcast is completely wasted. I hope we found the plane and we have answers.
Sam, thanks, man.
Thank you guys.
Good
for having
seeing
me.
Be careful, man. It's a crazy world.
Yes, it is.
All right. Bubba, you want to close us out?
All right. Here we go. There you go with another podcast. We'll be back with the whatever I just said. Goodbye.